Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Well, we had a great breakfast for those that were able to be here earlier this morning. We had a great breakfast, and I just have a quick question. All right, yeah, we can. It was great, thanks. Yeah, it was. I mean, I didn't cook it, so, but thank you. If you had biscuits and gravy this morning, can you just raise your hand? All right, everybody who didn't, look around. Wait, keep your hands up. Watch for those people to doze off while I'm preaching. All right, listen. Because I was out there just thinking like, hey, sometimes it's hard to keep everybody awake when we all had our coffee and just ate a couple hours ago. But I mean, today, some of us are fresh off of two plates of biscuits and gravy. And I know that that just preps you for a Sunday morning nap. And a sermon is a great time for a Sunday morning nap. Some people have told me. As a pastor's son, I've experienced a few of those myself. But anyways, all right, I'm Caleb, and we're going to jump in, and we're going to be really moving into another aspect of this series on Paul, a man who made the most of what he was given. Today, we're going to look at what makes a significant life. And so as we do that, and just before I even pray for us, let me just say, when we talk about Paul, he's kind of a hero of the faith, right? Like the second most influential man in history, right, other than Jesus, in terms of the Christian faith. When we say that, there can be this heroic way we think about him that can disconnect him from reality. So what we're really doing in this series is not trying to learn how to write a bunch of letters that will be in the Bible someday, right? Be like Paul. We're not trying to be like Paul in the sense of learn how to travel the world and plant churches everywhere. What we're trying to learn is from the life of Paul, who was an ordinary human being with a broken past and a sinful flesh, but yet became significantly influential in the world around him. Why? Because he received the same gifts we have, and he made the most of those gifts he's been given. And so I want to pray for us, and we're going to jump into today's message. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for community. We thank you for family together. We thank you for breakfast. We thank you for biscuits and gravy. We thank you for later on naps and right now the energy to pay attention. But Lord, most of all, we thank you that you are with us. And I just ask that you would help this message not be about what I have to say, but be about what you have to say. And so each of us right now, if we're just on the road planning for what's ahead the rest of the weekend, help us focus right now that we are in the presence of God together with other believers. And there may be something that you want to say to our hearts that will change our lives. So help us to pay attention to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so we are going to talk today about how to kind of live an impactful life, like the way that Paul made the most of what he was given to have an impact on the world around him. But as we do, the way we're going to do that is in a bunch of verses, so brace yourself, from the letters Paul wrote to a church called Corinth. And so to get that context of that, I want to just give you a quick little 2-minute background. So have you ever felt like you didn't fit in, right? You got somewhere and you're like, I don't think I fit in here. All right. Those of us raise our hand. Yeah, you get it. All right. I think about a situation where I showed up to golf with a group of people and I showed up to golf and I hadn't golfed in like 6 months or so. And they all got their brand new clubs out and I got mine that I kind of got hand-me-down from somewhere and pieced together. And I got up there on the tee and the first three hits drive straight down the middle and I get up there and I hit it in the woods, right? I don't know what I'm doing. So there's this moment, like one of those moments where you're like, I'm not really playing the same game as these people. All right. This is a vastly different situation I find myself in. I don't fit in with this group. In a lot of ways, Paul, when he showed up in the city of Corinth, was kind of like that. There was a way the city of Corinth worked, and that wasn't how Paul worked. There was a kind of person that the city of Corinth thought was awesome, and that was not the kind of person that Paul was. And so when he showed up, he stood out. When he showed up, he stood out from that community. See, the city of Corinth, we can relate a lot to it in our culture today. The city of Corinth in the ancient world of the Bible was a city that loved the rich, the brilliant, the sexy, the athletes, the celebrities. That was what Corinth loved. It was the location of the ancient Olympics. It was a place of great philosophical debates by the greatest speakers of that day and age. It was a day of the most beauty, the most brilliance. Everything was right there, the highest celebrities you could find. Popularity was king when it came to the city of Corinth. When Paul showed up, you may not know this, but Paul was not wealthy. In fact, while he's there in Corinth, where he spent about 2 years of his life, he had to take up a second job in order to meet the needs of his daily life. And so he made tents alongside other workers there in that trade. He was not eloquent. Now, we might think Paul was this great speaker. That's why he had such a great influence. Well, no. In fact, even in Corinthians, in the letters, he says, when I came to you, it wasn't with words of eloquent wisdom. It wasn't. He says, I wasn't impressive in my speech. In fact, you thought, well, I've heard better sermons. Isn't that hard to imagine? But Paul comes to town. He's not an incredible speaker. He's not wealthy. Paul, likely not a very handsome or physically impressive person either. By the time he showed up in Corinth for the last 15 years, he's been beaten so many times and been through so much suffering that most historians think he was likely hunched from having his back broken and bones shattered at different times. He likely is worn and ragged from walking the streets all through the Roman Empire. He shows up at Corinth and he's not rich. He's not eloquent speech. He doesn't seem the most brilliant. He's not handsome. He's not physically impressive. He's not going to win any physical competitions in town. And he's not a celebrity. In fact, the last cities he was in before he showed up at Corinth, he got arrested and thrown in jail. He got chased out of town and hated by everybody, and now he shows up at Corinth. And in a lot of ways, Paul did not match what that city thought of when they thought of influencers, when they thought of people who will have an impact. And really, when we look at Paul being there in Corinth, we kind of have this contrast between two ways of pursuing significance with life. And one is temporary popularity, and the other is lasting impact. Temporary popularity versus lasting impact. And for me, temporary popularity, I instantly time traveled to high school Caleb. High school Caleb, who was just trying so hard to get the right shoes, the right Nikes that I really wanted, the right clothes, the right jacket, the right hair, the right car, so that a bunch of people that I haven't talked to since the day I graduated would think I was cool for 15 minutes. Right? There was this driving desire to be admired temporarily by people. And in Corinth, there were actually other preachers and speakers in town who were very much like that. In fact, they're often called the super apostles. They're these really eloquent, fancy people who would show up in Corinth and who would preach these messages and be incredible communicators. They wore the most designer clothes of their day, none of which you would wear now. They were beautiful, looking, wonderful people, the kind of person that you would absolutely follow or would be verified on social media. They were impressive. And they would come to town and they would charge large amounts of money for people to come and listen to what they had to say. Temporary popularity. And then there's Paul. Then there's Paul, who doesn't fit any of the kind of grid of what you would expect of the kind of person who would leave a lasting impact. And yet, here we are, and I don't know the names of any of those other people who showed up in Corinth that sold tickets to listen to them, and they packed coliseums with eager fans, can't wait to hear. I don't know any of their names. I don't know what they taught, but we're talking about Paul. Centuries later, Paul's impact vastly outlasted that of those who had temporary popularity. And even though it might be hard to believe today, that's still true. Amen. That's still true. But in Paul, we see this different example of how to live. And so why? Why did Paul's impact outlast? And we know why, because what the series is about. Paul made the most of what he'd been given by God. He made the most of what he'd been given by God. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to highlight some of the things that Paul recognized he was given by God. One, which is right here. And then we're going to read a few verses and then look at, well, how did that produce impact? A more impactful kind of life. So let's go ahead and look at that together. So the first one is Paul made the most of being right with God, as you saw there on the screen. Paul made the most of being right with God. When I say being right with God, I'm kind of wrapping up the whole gospel of what Christ has done for those who believe in him. So Paul made the most of being right with God. Look at this in 1 Corinthians 1. Christ made us right with God, Paul writes. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. All of those are things I have received this from God. Therefore, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. If you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. He goes on a few chapters later in chapter 4 and says this, as for me, it matters very little how I might be evaluated by you. I'm going to take that today. it matters very little what you think of me. Just kidding. It matters very little how I might be evaluated by you or any human authority. It is the Lord himself who will examine. Who will examine me and decide. So Paul had this reality that he received from God. He was given the gift of being right with God, being pure, being holy, being blameless before him, being beloved of God. And Paul made the most of that, and that produced a more impactful life. Now, both of these use this language of boasting. And so I want to give a little context for that. Paul says, the way to make the most of what you've been given by God is to no longer boast in yourself, but to boast in him. And the word boast, if you look it up or in your Bibles, you might find it says the word like glory or glorify. And it just basically means this. Who do you want others to think is awesome? That's what boast means. If we want to examine this ourselves, who do you want others to think is awesome? Is it me that I want people to think is awesome? Is it my favorite political leader that I want other people to think is awesome? Is it my favorite boss or my person I want to be the boss? Who is it? My favorite athlete? Who do you want to think is awesome? And Paul would say, well, that's what you boast in. But when you receive this gift from God, that you are righteous before him, you are loved by him, you are holy before him, the only thing really worth boasting is that people would know that God is awesome. And we see this expressed later on in 2 Corinthians. He wrote a few different letters, but we have two in our Bible, 1st and 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians 12, he says this, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Now what it is, we can talk about a whole debate. It's the thorn in the flesh that Paul talks about here. We don't know exactly what that was, but it was something that he continued to wrestle with throughout his life that made it evident to himself and maybe to others that he wasn't awesome. That he had weakness, that he was frail in himself. He says, three times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. And then he goes on and says, that's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses. I take pleasure in the insults that get hurled at me. I take pleasure in the hardships I experience, the persecutions I endure, the troubles I suffer for Christ. Now, think about that. He's writing to the Corinthians who think life is about being impressive and awesome and all these things make you look weak. Paul says, I know, isn't that great? Isn't that great? Because when I am weak, then I am strong. And the things that actually matter, that produce an impact in the world around us, it's actually when I'm weak that I'm best equipped to do that. Because the best thing I can tell you is that Jesus is awesome.
Amen.
He is awesome. And he is worth entrusting your entire life to, and every day of the rest of your life, trusting Jesus. That's the best thing I can tell you. And you know what equips me to do that? To say, it's not about Caleb. Because this morning I felt so weak and broken even coming here. Because we had a rough morning in my house. I had a rough morning personally. And I was struggling and felt like I had nothing to offer. But guess what? It's not about me. And the fact that I feel weak makes me better equipped to tell you what you really need to know. It's Jesus.
Amen.
It's Jesus for me every day.
Hallelujah.
And it's Jesus for you every day. So what we see happens, that Paul receives this gift from God. God, because of Jesus, I'm righteous before you. I'm beloved by you. I'm your child forever. I'm holy. I'm blameless. You call me your own. I don't need everybody to like me. And as you see Paul's life played out, this results in impact because of this. Paul impacted people because he didn't have to impress them. Paul impacted people because he didn't have to impress them. As you read, if you read all the way through 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you'll find over and over again that Paul is unconcerned with trying to get the Corinthian people to love him and is deeply concerned in them learning to trust Jesus, even if that means they don't like him anymore. See, Paul impacted people because he didn't have to impress them. So just consider in your own self, and we don't have time to lean into this very long, but whose opinion of you most influences your life. Like when you think about your day, as you're going through your week, as you're making your decisions, and whose opinion of you has the greatest power? Because Paul would say that the greatest impact of your life is when the opinion of God is the most powerful in your life. So Paul could live to boast in Christ. And another thing that we've talked about already is this idea of eternal life. We did this series called Invincible. We talked about the gift that given to us of eternal life. And so we find that Paul made the most of having eternal life. He made the most of having eternal life in terms of leveraging that for influence in the world. So again, here's some verses. Hang on tight. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. He says this, I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day. And he goes on in chapter 15 and says, but thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death. So Christ died, Christ was risen, and thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Isn't that interesting? He sets their eyes when evaluating the usefulness of their current actions. He sets their eyes on eternity. In other words, perhaps, when you do what Christ calls you to do, it may not look like it was very impactful in the moment. But think about eternity. Think about eternity. That Paul's saying here, if the end of our story, and we just sang about it, we know how the story ends. And let me tell you, the story ends, and you and I, if we trust in Jesus, you and I are going to be with God forever.
Hallelujah.
Forever. There's going to be no war, no abuse, no brokenness, no bullying. There's going to be no chaotic political seasons, no drama, right? No wounding, no biting words, no betrayals. None of that, forever in a perfect creation. That's how the story ends. And Paul says if that's true, man, that changes everything. That changes everything. Because if that's true, then I don't have to live to try to make this life perfect for me. He goes on in 2 Corinthians 4, and he describes how this has influenced the way he lives in the world. This is a longer passage, and it's part of what I gave an assignment. By the way, if you follow us on River Run Family on Facebook, I like to give you a homework assignment before church. Everybody loves that. All right, everybody loves homework. So those that miss homework, get on there. All right, we know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. So he says, we know resurrection and eternal life is ahead of us. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving and God will receive more and more glory. So I want you to hear these things connected. Paul's saying, these things, when I think about my life in the world, I look to the fact that I have eternity ahead of me, and in this life, it's about reaching more and more people and for God to get more and more glory. I have this ahead of me right now is about reaching more and more people and God getting more and more glory. And he goes on, and it says this. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. No, Paul's present troubles are being beaten, his back likely being shattered at some point, ribs broken, bruising all over his body, walking with a limp likely for years of his life, being thrown in prisons and mocked and spit on and stoned. Like that's his present troubles. He says, very small. You ever talk to someone who's lived a long, full life? I mean, I have benefited so much from the perspective of someone who's walked a long story. And I'll say something like, it's so difficult. And I've often experienced this. They said, it happens. I was just with someone this year, and they said they were dealing with a physical obstacle, a major one. And they said, it'll pass or I will. Either way, I win. And I'm like, whoa, that's not how I'm thinking. I'm thinking, get this suffering over with. I want to be good. But Paul says, we never give up because we know what's ahead of us. So whatever we do in this life, reach more and more people and more glory to God. So we never give up. And these present troubles, they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them all and will last forever. So, he says, we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen that will last forever. So we see Paul impacted people because he didn't have to impress them. And Paul impacted this present world because he lived for eternity. Paul impacted the present world because he lived for eternity. If we really believe we have eternal life, it sets us free from trying to make our own heaven during our 80 years on this earth. And instead, we can even be willing to sacrifice the present comforts for the sake of reaching more and more people and bringing God more and more glory. Because for a billion years, I'm going to be with him. So I can sacrifice right now for his glory and for the joy of those around me. So here's the challenge. I want you to think about with this one. How often do you think about eternity? And what time of your life do you most set your hope on? If you're a teenager, is it when you get married or you, whatever your career? Is that the time? Oh, I can't wait till that. Let me tell you, there'll be some trouble in there. Is it, oh, when I have kids? Is it when I, is it maybe you're younger, even when I graduate? Is it, maybe it's when I retire, when my kids all move out of the house? Like, what time of your life do you think of and do you most set your hope on? Because Paul would say, set it on the longest time of your life, which is your eternity. And that will set you free to live right now for the glory of God and the good of those around you. And Paul understood that. He made the most of that. And so he impacted this present world because he thought most of the next. Woo! How to preach. All right, let's keep rolling. All right, let's keep going here for the sake of time. And here's a couple more here. Paul made the most of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Paul made the most of the gift of the Holy Spirit. We had a series on this, third person, where we said the Holy Spirit isn't some ethereal force or some like once in a while you get these goosebumps, and I dig that. But it's God. The Holy Spirit, he is God with us. And Paul made the most of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And just a couple of verses about this for the sake of time. 1 Corinthians 2, here's what he says. He says, we have received God's Spirit. So we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. Today is actually Pentecost Sunday. And historically, this is a Sunday where the church all over the world, and today, churches all over the world are celebrating and remembering the day where the church began. When God placed his Spirit within his people and wrote his law upon their hearts and brought new life, empowering them to be witnesses of the world. That's the celebration today. And Paul says, hey, that is what we've received from God. And there's a lot we could say about this in Corinthians, where he talks about letting the Spirit work through you, through gifts of the Spirit, leading you and sanctifying you. But I want to just read from 2 Corinthians 2 and emphasize one thing here. 2 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 14, he says this, thank God he has made us his captives, and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere. Like a sweet perfume, our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. Now, when we talked about the Holy Spirit, we said God gave us himself. Himself. So don't you capture this image then, which I think is Paul's response. It's him making the most of that gift. What's the right response to that? Give yourself to God. God's given you himself. Give yourself to God. Give yourself to God. This language of triumphal procession is an image of a king, a victorious king warrior coming back from battle, where he'd went and he had conquered a people. And he would ride back into the city and he'd come in on his chariot. This is me on a chariot. I don't know why this was my impersonation of a chariot. All right. He'd ride back in on a chariot and the whole city would watch. And behind him in chains following along would be all those who now were admitting we belong to that king. He has conquered us and we belong to him. And Paul takes that image and redeems it. And says, I joyfully throw the chains on my wrist and say, I belong to this king. I belong to this king. Parade me through the streets as one who belongs to King Jesus. What? And may my life be a fragrance that smells like the sacrifice of Jesus to the Lord. That it would just go up to God. God, here's my whole life. I belong to you. And so Paul's, by giving the Spirit, God gave himself to me, and I give myself to God. So he made the most of the gift of the Spirit. And not only that, Paul made the most of the gift of Christ's sacrifice for him. And this kind of ties in with what we said earlier, but specifically Christ dying for him, laying down his life as a sacrificial service. Paul made the most of the gift of Christ's sacrifice. Listen to this in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians. If it seems we are crazy, which if you think I'm crazy today, I can just write it off to this, all right? It's fine. If it seems we're crazy, it's to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it's for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. And he goes on and says this, he died, so Christ's sacrifice, he died for everyone, so that those who received this new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. No longer living for myself because Christ died for me, so I die to this life. We can hear this in the language of 2 Corinthians, as you get to the end, towards the end of that letter in chapter 12, he says this, I will gladly spend myself in all I have for you. Why would Paul be willing to give up all his self for someone else? Because Christ had given all of himself for Paul. And he knew that. He knew that. Christ sacrificed for Paul so Paul could sacrifice for others. And so really kind of pulling these together as it kind of lasts, why did Paul's life have such an impact? He made the most of what he has been given. He could impact people because he didn't have to impress them, because he made the most of the gift of being righteous before God. He could impact this present world because he fixed his eyes on eternity, because he made the most of the gift of eternal life. And Paul's life had impact because he lived it for God and to serve others. Paul's life had impact because he lived it for God and to serve others. And you hear that echoing throughout Corinthians as you read this letter. Remember, it's a city where you live for yourself. And over, Paul says things, it's for the glory of God, it's for your benefit. In order to reach more and more people and to bring more and more glory to God. He says it over and over again, repeatedly, redirecting the eyes of the Corinthians from staring downward at themselves as the center of their lives to instead looking at the one who has given them everything and then looking at those that they can take what he's given and they can pass it on. To the Corinthians and the USians, all hear a lie. And the lie is that the good life is found by living for yourself and accumulating popularity and building your own heaven in your retirement. But it's a lie. Paul knew it was a lie. He lived into the truth, and he invited the Corinthians. He invites us to join him in the better way. So River Run family, let me challenge you. Don't live to impress people. Make the most important opinion of you God's opinion of you. Don't live to impress people. Instead, live to impact the world around you. River Run, don't live for this present fleeting world where everything we accumulate will turn into dust. Live for eternity. And River Run, resurrender your life to God again. Let's resurrender. Let's say once again, let's repeat. Hey, God, you've given yourself to me. God, I give myself to you. God, I give myself to you again. Lord, I reckon I did it yesterday. I know I did. But I also this morning, I pulled it back. So here I am again. I want to give everything of me to you. Because you've given yourself to me. Paul gives these mission statements, and I'm just going to read these as we close our message this morning. He says this in 2 Corinthians 4, 5 through 7, kind of culminates all of this together. He says, you see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. Man, wouldn't that? He says, we don't care what anybody thinks about us. Amen. We don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let there be light in the darkness, back at creation, that same God said, let there be light in our hearts and shone in our hearts that we would know the glory of God that is in the face of Jesus Christ. So now we've got that light of creation shining in our hearts. But it's the light that's amazing. It's not us. We're just fragile jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. He goes on the next chapter and says in 2 Corinthians 5, and all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us when we speak for Christ, when we plead, come back to God. River Run, since it's Pentecost Sunday, let me just remind you what Paul said. We received the Holy Spirit so that we could know all the gifts we received from God. And this whole year, we're saying, hey, let's try to remember what we've been given by God, and then let's act like we care about that stuff. Let's make the most of the gifts God, the God of the universe, gave to me, little old Caleb living in Oviedo. He's given me eternal life. He's given me righteousness before him. He's given me his love. He's given me perfection. He's given me his spirit. Let's make the most of it, and let's give it away, because the world is waiting. The world is waiting. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have done it all for us. We thank you for your work for us. We thank you that because of what you have done and by the coming of your Spirit, we have received so much. We received everything that Paul received. So God, would you help us to follow the example of our brother Paul and to make the most of what we've been given in order that we could live a life that would impact the world in a way that matters. Set us free from this world's way of thinking. And give us your way of thinking instead. In Jesus' name, amen.